pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
Well, that was the way it fell. Jared Goff going number one. Carson Wentz number two. Here's the other story from yesterday's draft.
Cal quarterback Jared Goff is selected number one by the LA Rams. North Dakota State quarterback Carson Wentz number two for the Philadelphia Eagles. But moments before the draft, a picture appeared of highly touted offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil smoking pot. It appeared on his Twitter account.
Somebody got in my photos and hacked my Twitter account. And apparently somebody just hacked my Instagram account, so, man, it's getting crazy.
At one time considered a top pick, Tunsil fell to the Miami Dolphins. He admits it is him in the picture, but says it was taken years ago. Ryan Burrow, ABC News, Chicago.
And joining us on the line now, Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram, who covers the Browns for the draft and all things the draft. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing okay. Kind of an interesting day yesterday. A couple of things came out, including that. What do you make of something like this where there's sort of a photo leaked related to a player which causes him to fall? I don't remember anything like this ever happening before.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was crazy because you first see the video, I mean, minutes before the draft, and you start thinking, well, that can't be real. And then, well, it is him. And then, you know, he admits it later when he gets interviewed after getting drafted. The timing of it was just the really interesting part to me, and the sad part, you know, I mean, obviously the kid shouldn't have been doing what he was doing, but if it's years ago, like you said, then somebody he knows purposely posted it to his Twitter account right before he could have been the number three pick in the draft or wherever he would have been taken. It's just kind of sad all around.
Right. It also seems really vengeful in a sense. It's kind of an odd thing. It almost seems like it's something off of some kind of drama on TV where you know, you get this little intrigue as to why, what it's all about. He eventually fell down to Miami. That kind of upset a little bit of the draft board. Also, I guess, what, Ezekiel Elliott and Joey Bosa going where they did kind of threw things off slightly, do you think?
It did. You know, I think people assumed Bosa would go in the top five or six. I don't know if anybody had him going number three to San Diego. And then, to me, Ezekiel Elliott, the running back out of Ohio State, was a big wild card. Running backs usually don't go in the top five anymore, you know, today's pass-first NFL. I thought he'd be there at eight for the Browns if they wanted him, or they could trade out. Instead, he goes number four. So, you know, I think from a Browns perspective, they were thinking, okay, well, if Bosa or Elliott drops to eight, do we have to take one of them because they're so good? And they wound up not having that decision at all because those guys went so early in the draft. So, yeah, I think there's a surprise, and it's a good thing for Ohio State. I think they had five guys taken in the first round yesterday. They were hoping for six or seven, but five still a haul, and three of them went in the top ten.
A little while later, the Browns trade down from 8 to 15 and choose a wide receiver from Baylor, Corey Coleman. Scott, at first blush, your thoughts on the move down and the selection?
Yeah, I like it overall. I think it made sense. The Browns, outside of quarterback, if you put quarterback aside, the Browns' number one need is a wide receiver. And they need playmakers in general, but especially at that position. And they determined that that Corey Coleman from Baylor was the number one receiver that they wanted. And he was the number one receiver off the board. And they knew, or at least felt strongly enough, that they could trade back from 8 to 15 and still get their guy. And they added a third-round pick today and a second-round pick next year in order to do that. So I think it was a smart move. If I'm going to quibble with the Browns' decision to trade down, it would have been the first decision last week to go from number two to number eight because it takes you out of that quarterback derby and takes you out of the elite players. But once you already were down at eight, then to me, I'm fine with moving down to 15. And Corey Coleman, he's an explosive athlete. He runs a sub 4.4 40-yard dash. He jumps crazy. He's got a 40-inch vertical leap. So he's an explosive player. Hugh Jackson, the coach, called him dynamic several times. The only question with him is he's not ideal size. He's just a shade under 5'11". They say he plays bigger than that, which is important because the Browns have a lot of short receivers. And we're talking 5'7", 5'8". So he's a step up from them, but he's not your ideal size. So he's going to have to make up for that with his playmaking and explosiveness.
I'm looking, it said he was a Fred Biletnikoff winner. I'm an old school guy, so I remember Fred from his playing days as well. And I'm looking at some of the other people that are in his past award winners for that. So he's in good company, but obviously that any college award is no guarantee of what translates into the NFL. But,
no, I mean, it's always, it's always a projection. Does this kid's skills translate to the NFL? And you won't know for a year or two. But he was highly productive. He had 20 touchdowns last year, 33 for his career. I mean, that's a lot of production. I know Baylor runs that spread, and they throw the ball a ton, and they score a bunch of points. But those are impressive numbers. Some of the analytics sites out there, Pro Football Focus, ranked him as their number one wideout, and we know the Browns are heavy into analytics nowadays. So, I don't know if they use the same analytics or not, just Pro Football Focus. But whatever it is, those numbers said this guy would be the best receiver in the draft. And that was the only question mark for me. I really felt that they would move down and take a receiver. I thought Laquon Treadwell from Mississippi was number one. He has more size. For me, that was the thing. When I was looking at what receiver the Browns were going to take, I thought they would value size over speed, and it was the other way around. They wanted an explosive athlete was more important to them than an extra couple of inches or 20 pounds.
Scott, the Browns will open round two. They will have the number one pick. Do you think they will hold steady and take somebody there? Part one of that question. And part two is, a lot of people have said, the Browns have to take a quarterback, but one can wonder, if you don't feel good about any of the top quarterbacks with a high pick, why bother with like the second or third tier with that number 32 pick? Your thoughts on that?
Sure. I don't think they're going to take somebody at number 32. I think because teams have had or will have, whatever it is, 18 hours to decide if they want to trade up to number 32 and kind of fall in love with the player, I think the Browns will get several good offers to trade back again out of number 32. When we talked to Sashi Brown, the first round was still going on, and he said he had already received calls about number 32. So I would expect them to move down because I don't think there's a player that they feel they have to have at number 32. And for me, that means they're not going to take a quarterback there. Because if they love, let's say, Connor Cook, he's probably widely considered the best quarterback left available. If they loved Michigan State's Connor Cook, then they would have done everything they could to make sure they got him by maybe trading back up into the bottom of the first round, like San Francisco, I believe, did for a different position. But they could have moved into the first round and made sure they got Connor Cook. So if they didn't feel the need to do that, I don't think they feel the need to take him at 32. And I tend to agree with your principle. If you don't love a quarterback, you can't. There's a point where you just can't force yourself to take it. And I agree, there's too many good players to do that at number 32. Having said that, at some point the Browns need to address the quarterback position because RG3 is not a guarantee. And it looks more likely they'll do it in the third or fourth round, take kind of a flyer on a guy and see if he can develop into something.
Do you think the Browns' philosophy at this point is simply, let's get through this year either with RG3 or some combo of him and maybe Josh McCown and Austin Davis and Connor Shaw just to get us through the year? Because they are piling up picks for 2017 and even 18.
I don't know if it's that simple. I think more likely is let's give RG3 a chance to see if we can recapture what he was as a rookie and what he was in order to be the number two pick in the draft only 4 years ago. Because I do think Hugh Jackson sees potential there and says, if I work with this guy, maybe we can find that Pro Bowler, and then we don't need to spend a high draft pick on a quarterback. So I think that's more likely. I always thought all along the Browns would take a quarterback at some point, and Hugh Jackson said that at the owners' meetings. We'll take a quarterback. And now I'm not so sure. Sashi Brown, the head of football operations, has kind of backed off of that. I would still guess. They have 11 picks left. Why not spend one on a quarterback? The position is so valuable. Why not just take a guy and hope he turns into something? Doesn't mean you have to play him right away. Add him to the mix, see what it becomes. But it sure looks like RG3 is going to have his shot to have, if not all of next season, most of next season, to prove that he can still be a top-tier quarterback.
We're talking to Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram. Browns begin the whole NFL round number two. Today, we no longer can boo Commissioner Goodell, right? They have some second guy come out and present the awards. Is that right? How that works?
Yeah, I don't think he's up there. I think he kicks it off and then turns it over to, I don't know if it's one other guy, or they do a whole bunch of stuff. They have celebrities do it. They have former players. So, yeah, I don't think Goodell's going to be on center stage today.
Bruce, one can only stand so much booing.
I guess so.
One night's enough.
Craig, they even had a red carpet prior to last night's thing. They're turning this into, you know, quite the spectacle. But all we care about here in Brownstown is what players are picked. How did you see that hearing from the front guys talking about their picks yesterday and what they plan to do? How much confidence did you have in them from yesterday?
Yeah, you know what? I thought they handled themselves pretty well. To me, it's always interesting. We've only heard from him maybe once or twice previously to last night. But Paul DePodesta, the chief strategy officer, the former baseball executive, I'm just fascinated to hear from him because he's the number one analytics guy. And they're so scared. I don't know if scared's the right word, but they don't want to be painted as we're only driven by the numbers and it's all analytics. So he was quick to say, hey, it's all about getting the right players. However, he acknowledged that they got the best of both worlds by adding players because they just figure if, let's say, an average draft pick you hit 50% of the time, then the simple numbers tell you, well, if you draft 12 instead of 6, you had a much better chance of hitting on 6 guys than you would if you only took 6. So he acknowledged that, but then said the key was getting their guy. And they believe they did it. They believe they accomplished what they wanted to by trading down and getting more picks. Now they have 2 first-rounders next year, 2 second-rounders next year, and 2 second-rounders in 2018. So they did that, and they got Corey Coleman. So I think they feel good about it. I like how they've handled themselves to this point, but, you know, they still got 11 picks left. They still have to address a quarterback at some point. I mean, there's a long way to go for this organization to turn itself around. I think yesterday's a good first step, but the next step is using these assets they have to find many more playmakers and address many more needs because we all know how the Browns have needs across that roster.
Right, and we'll know after this draft, but specifically next year when they have a lot of all those other picks, and you just hope they're not just hoarding picks to look at the shiny picks that they have without releasing them and finding players because that's what we really need. So we shall see how it goes, but we'll be reading you in the Chronicle and following you on Twitter as well. Scott Petrick, the Chronicle Telegram, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.